brought to you by Penguin.
Death of the Sign of the Rook by Kate Atkinson, read by Jason Isaacs. For Russell Equi. The guilty always masquerade as the innocent, but it is rarely the other way round. Nancy Stiles, The Secret of the Clock Cabinet. We invite you to enjoy all the excitement of a murder mystery weekend in the charmingly atmospheric surroundings of Rook Hall, a country house hotel located within Burton Makepeace House, one of England's premier stately homes. Enjoy a sumptuous four-course dinner in the splendour of our magnificent Stubbs Room, in the company of the owners of the house, the Marquess and Marchioness of Milton, and afterwards partake of coffee and liqueurs in the comfort of the library, designed by Robert Adam, all the while being entertained with clues galore to a fascinating whodunit. £1,250 per person, exclusive of VAT, based on two people sharing. Included in the price are all meals, including a lavish breakfast buffet, served Downton style in our charming morning room. £300 deposit, non-refundable, per person. Book early, places limited. All inquiries to reception at burtonmakepeace.co.uk. Red Herrings. As requested, they had all assembled in the library before dinner. There were not enough seats for everyone, and someone wondered jokingly if they were going to play musical chairs.
"Do you think we will?"
Major Liversedge asked, perking up a little at the idea. The Major and Sir Lancelot Hardwick had done the gentlemanly thing and elected to stand.
"What on earth is this about, do you suppose?"
the Reverend Smallbones asked.
"I hope there's going to be a good dinner to make up for all the waiting," he added, querulously.
"And where are those drinks?" Guy Burroughs wondered out loud.
"Dreadful men,"
Countess Voronskaya murmured, unable to conceal her dislike of the brash American film star.
"Yes, where is Addison with the sherry?"
Sir Lancelot said. He rang the bell again. Catching sight of the expression of distaste on the face of the fastidious little Swiss detective, René Armand, he laughed and said,
"Don't worry, monsieur, I have some excellent cognac."
"I fear we must make the best of things," the Reverend Smallbones said. "This snowstorm means that we're all going to be stuck here together for quite some time."
"Trept,"
Countess Voronskaya declared in gloomy Slavic tones. The company fell into a rather awkward silence. There was an audible sigh of relief when Addison entered and said to Sir Lancelot,
"You rang, sir?"
"Yes, Addison, we would..." "Sorry to be so dim," Lady Milton whispered, "but I'm rather confused. Who is Addison?"
"He's the butler,"
Reggie whispered back.
"It's confusing. There are so very many of them."
"I know, Lady M, but I expect they're going to get picked off one by one. That's what usually happens."
"Is it?"
"Dear God almighty,"
Jackson Brodie muttered. "If this goes on much longer, I'll kill them all myself."
"It hasn't even begun properly yet,"
Reggie said. The Mysterious Affair at the Willows. In fact, it had begun over a week ago, when Jackson acquired a new client. Two new clients, actually, although they came as a pair. Twins, in fact. Ian and Hazel, the pensionable-aged progeny of the recently deceased Dorothy Padgett. Jackson had not warmed to Hazel when she contacted him on the phone, but she wanted to meet in Ilkley, the scene of the crime, as she referred to it, and Ilkley boasted a Betty's Cafe tea rooms that Jackson had never visited. It wasn't the siren call of a toasted tea cake that drew him, so much as the promise of order, of sanctuary even. "A clean, well-lighted place," his ex, Julia, said, when he had tried to explain the attraction. "That's Hemingway, and don't pretend you know that, because you don't." He didn't, but he was fairly sure you would never find Hemingway in Betty's, chomping on an iced fancy. Hemingway's loss. "And this is where the painting hung, in your mother's bedroom."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?